We're talking with Senator Eddie Fields. Senator, we're obviously going to be probably looking for some solutions revenue-wise here this fall. What are you hearing from, as you talk with fellow colleagues from the Senate? You know, what do you see coming to try to solve our revenue problems in the state of Oklahoma?
As of right now, I know the House Speaker and the House Republican Caucus met yesterday. We have not officially got word from them yet what their plan is moving forward. Any revenue bills going to have to start in the House because of the ruling by the Supreme Court from that standpoint. And so moving forward, you know, there's not really a whole lot of options out there. You know, the only places that we can look at to raise a lot of revenue is either the gross production tax increase or personal income tax increase. You know, there was a bill that we sent the House. It was about $515 million. They never put up for a vote. That's a possibility that could be done. But as of right now, there's, you know, the only thing we really could possibly do is that June collections exceeded everybody's expectations, so they paid all the money got put back into the rainy day fund. They got to backfill the revenue failure back to all those agencies that took a cut in GR of 0.7%. That all got, and we had $83 million left over. So right now, we could possibly at some point between now and the first of the year go back into special session, maybe take the $83 million and apply that to the three healthcare agencies that there were where the cigarette fee was applied to. And if the governor, the House, and Senate want to, can call an emergency and have access to about $23 million in the rainy day fund. So there's different options being looked at, but until the Speaker of the House and the House can work out some agreement with the Minority Leader Inman, that where the Senate's kind of got its hand tied as far as what we can do moving forward.
You're almost like you're spectators like the rest of us.
Yes, sir, to a certain degree. You know, we'll be asked for some input, you know, and what our thoughts are, you know, is it, do you think we can put up 36 votes, which is 75% vote in the Senate, you know, if it is one of those revenue measures? There's a possibility you could say some revenue measures is just a 50-plus-1 vote. It'd probably be a little more palatable in the Senate. You know, we could probably a lot easier get those votes than the 36 at this time. So, yeah, we're kind of handcuffed to a certain degree, you know, and what the House is going to decide what they want to do.
I guess what this is going to be the reality in the next legislative session in early 2018.
Could be. You know, that's the one thing that we, you know, moving forward, you know, if we were, I would like to see us, if we do go into special session, maybe you get some of the revenue stuff done, get it done with and over with, and we don't have to have those discussions during the regular session when we convene the 1st of February. So, if you know, if we was to be able to get something done in special session, that kind of, those hard votes would be off the table, and, you know, we could go, okay, are we collecting money? You know, July's, month of July's collections were 11% above what we collected a year ago, July. So, according to Treasurer Miller, that, you know, we've bottomed out. We're on an upward tick now in sales tax collections and gross production collections. So, if that's the case, you know, we'll start out in the budget hole of about $300 million starting February 1, if we can find something to cover the $215 that we lost in the cigarette fee. So, you know, if we don't, you know, and if we really don't address any revenue measures between now and the 1st of February, we'll be looking at about a $515 million hole.
You've made the decision to look at that Lieutenant Governor's position. Going to be talking to voters, going to be looking at trying to organize your campaign. Why the interest?
This will be going to my 10th session. Due to term limits, I would be on the ballot in 18 anyway and only be able to serve 2 years of a four-year term in the Senate. So from that standpoint, if I could have done that, but that would cause a special election that the taxpayers have to pay. And then also, secondly, if whoever would succeed me actually gets to serve 14 years instead of 12. So it's kind of subservient of what the 12-year term limits that the voters of the state of Oklahoma put in. So it's an open seat. And I think the timing is right for me to make that jump from the Senate to Lieutenant Governor's office. And, you know, it's about jobs and economy, education and health care, you know, and that affects all 77 counties in the state of Oklahoma, regardless of whether you're in an urban area or a rural area from that standpoint, you know. And so, you know, having served in the House and Senate and having those relationships with those lawmakers, you know, trying to put together a game plan, you know, how we can move the state forward and, you know, improve the economy of the state, you know, and have better policy outcomes out of the legislative body, and not so much be a cheerleader, but be help facilitate the decision-making process and be able to get the message out what the lawmakers are trying to look at, how to address the issues the state faces, and also be a conduit back to the policymakers, you know, and when you visit all 77 counties, get feedback from the citizens of the state and say, okay, here's what I'm hearing in Kingfisher County or Canadian County, whatever it might be, and say, here's some ideas y'all need to look at and consider, you know, this is what I'm hearing out there across the state, and just kind of be a conduit between the policymakers and the citizens of the state to say, here's something, some things that we need to look at to help bridge that gap.
And of course, from your district and from your service within especially the Senate, you have a pretty good understanding and appreciation of agriculture.
Yes, sir. You know, in my Senate district, you know, agriculture is number one industry, energy's second, tourism's third, and right now those are our top three industries across the state, irregardless. You know, they might follow a different ranking, but those are three biggest economic drivers in this state from that standpoint. And so, you know, how can we continue to have good policy discussions about ag, energy, tourism? I think agritourism is something that we've tapped into a little bit, but not a whole lot. That's something I would like to expand upon and maybe enhance that a bit more, so when commodity prices are down, our farmers and ranchers can expand their business portfolios to include somewhat of an agritourism model to help when the commodity prices are down, that they can withstand those down markets.